Right, next item on the agenda is no longer being considered tonight. Would you like to explain why?
So, just very briefly, the Karen Widdowson. So, this item had been identified as possibly coming forward. However, it was not put onto the agenda for the Cabinet meeting on the 14th of February, and therefore there is no item for discussion this evening. So, we can now move on to the next item.
Right, thank you, Chair. I didn't call you Madam Mayor, though. Right, can I welcome to the table Chris Trail. I read an email.
Yes. I know. Don't get upset.
Matt Bradford and Councillor Lee Harper Davis.
Good evening, everyone.
Right, it's going to be a little deja vu, especially with me sitting here, because that's where I was last week as well. So we're going to have a review of the zero waste strategy. Thank you.
I think from a government point of view, we have a new, there's a new government waste strategy.
Sorry, Councillor Lee Harper Davis.
Sorry, Madam Chair. Yes, and Matt's going to present two items, two subject matters this evening. Obviously, the government have given us a new zero waste strategy, and he's going to run through the top line on that. And obviously, I remember training last week, so I wasn't there, so I think a lot of the faces were there then, and really the how it will affect, and you know, the implementation of that strategy within Chond. So it's got some PowerPoint presentation for you. Thank you.
Just like to say, I'm hoping to take about 15-20 minutes, Chair, if that's okay. How would you like me to take questions as we go through?
Afterwards, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super. Right. As you said, some of you might have got an exclusive advance preview of some of this in member training last week, but you'll know all that by now, so it'll look familiar to you. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the new government strategy for waste and resources. It's applicable for England only. It was published on the 18th of December, just before Christmas, and within the time that we've got available tonight, I can't really cover every single aspect that's in the strategy.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to try and pick out the points of most interest and the points that are particularly relevant to Charnwood Borough Council as a waste collection authority.
Thank you.
I would say that this is available on the .gov.uk website. If you put the name of the strategy in, you'll be able to download a version. And I did say this at member training last week, it is quite an interesting read. Actually, there's some good things in there. It isn't all text, there's some nice infographics in there that explains what's happening to our waste and what the intended changes hope to achieve. So I would encourage members to have a look at it if they have some spare time. But I know you're busy people.
Sorry, Matt, just to add, just to remember, it is consultation. It's out for consultation as national strategy at the moment, so it's not adopted by Charnwood. So you have everything to be consulted on at this point in time. And I think it's important to remember that as we go along, because then we can respond, and it's not set in stone. That's what I'm saying. So there are great things about strategy, and there are things that are open to a view, but it's not Charnwood strategy right now. I think it's important to remember. Simon.
So part of what the EU legislation and government legislation talks about is something called a circular economy, and that's getting our resources in this circle. This demonstrates it really. So if you can see that, you've got raw materials and recycled materials coming in, and then you've got consumption and use by the public. You've got resource recovery and waste management, which is a council, that's the bit that we're really concerned with. And then you've got the recycled and recovered materials going back in with raw materials at the top. And that's called the circular economy. That's the cornerstone of how the strategy's been written, really, with that in mind. And that is central to everything. So there's a number of chapters within the strategy, and I'll just highlight a few and the things that they say. Not all of the chapters will get covered tonight because they have more relevance for other people. So chapter one is about sustainable production. And what does that mean? It develops something called the polluter pays principle. And when they say a polluter, it talks about manufacturers of products. And what the strategy is hoping to achieve, that producers take the responsibility for their products through to the post-use stage. So they're responsible for producing it, and when the customers are finished with it, for the management of that waste, and it's if it's suitable for being recycled, the cost of that, or the cost of that disposal. And what this hopes to achieve through what's known as the extended producer responsibility is that producers pay the full net cost of managing their products and their waste from their products to the end of their life cycle. So there will be a cost in this to manufacturers and producers of waste. Producers will pay a lower fee for products that are easy to reuse, repair or recycle. So this will encourage manufacturers to have their product life cycle in mind, make them easier to reuse and repair. A lot of the goods that we get at the minute, they have designed in obsolescence, if you like, a limited lifespan. And what we'll see, I think, from manufacturers in years to come is that there'll be a right to repair. So customers of products will have the right to repair products that they buy. They won't come in sealed units that you can't get into and have to throw away. So I think that will become more and more. And the strategy talks about designing in resource efficiency. So these things like reuse, remanufacture, and repair can take place. Okay, so that's taking right back to the start where these products are made and produced. And there will be, a, say, a financial cost through this extended responsibility that will be placed on manufacturers to do that, to put the responsibility, the financial burden on them. Chapter 2 of the strategy talks about helping customers make more considered actions. So there's some high level actions there, but what does that mean in practice? So the strategy talks about extending the plastic bag charge. So I think the price is going up from 5p to 10, and it's extended to more businesses than it applied to before. It was just larger businesses. So that's been extended, and that, you know, the old scheme was already really, really successful, so hopefully that will carry on going forward. It talks about providing customers with better information on the products that they buy, and the strategy talks about eco labels. So it will tell you whether the material can be recycled and how it'd be recycled, and make customers aware that if they're buying a single-use product or whether something can be reused in the future. The strategy looks to ban plastics where alternative materials exist. And it talks about reconditioning goods that have maybe faulty or come to the end of their life, reconditioned goods, and a new British Standard Institute mark on those goods to say they've been tested and repaired and are available for purchasing yet again. So there'll be a new British Standard there. Under this chapter, it talks about a deposit return scheme that's been on the news quite a lot, probably in the last 6 months. Single-use receptacles There'll be a charge when they're purchased and then taken back to a place where they'll be deposited, and you'll get the money back that you paid for that bottle in the first place. So some interesting sort of metrics in the strategy is that each year in the UK we use 9 billion aluminium cans, 14 billion plastic bottles and 5 billion glass bottles. So you can see that if there's an economy in these products that are wasted at the minute, that the consumer of the goods within that packaging will be under increased motivation to take that back and get some money back from that, and hopefully that takes some of those elements out of the recycling stream. And it talks about greening government commitments, and that talks about social government in government procurement. So when we tender for services and look at services, as well as looking at the normal two metrics that we look at are cost and quality, and there's a split there. It's talking about increased social value, and that will be considering environmental factors such as recycling and other environmental factors there. So we'll be obligated to include that in our procurement process.
So that will be given a point when you're looking at a contract or something, and you have to mark people 10 out of 10 or something like that. So that would be in part and parcel of that.
Yes. Yeah. So if we're buying computers, we might assess as part of that tendering exercise how easy those computers are to recycle at the end of the time that they've had with us. And you'd include that in the procurement exercise and tendering and score on that basis. It'd be one of those factors.
Obviously, when I said questions afterwards, I wasn't applying it for myself. Sorry.
You are right, but we equally do meet that out to existing contractors. So we have a green standard around contracts currently, and also social value attached to contracts currently, and then also added value. So the Matt's quite right, quality versus price is the starting point, it's not the end point. And a lot of the contracts already have that already. This is just a requirement from government, so I wouldn't want you going away with the impression that we don't already try and aspire to that.
Okay.
Chapter 3 is probably the most pertinent to us as a waste collection authority, and there's some quite interesting things in the new strategy. So the first thing that it talks about is a common list of recyclable materials for all local authorities. So you can go to different places within the country, or even just 10 or 20 miles down the road, and one council will collect a different list of materials to the ones that we collect, and that's all down to the different processes that each council has in place for sorting and onward sale of the goods that we collect, the recyclable materials. The strategy is looking to establish a common list so that can be communicated nationally to residents, and everyone will hopefully understand that, and that there won't be any variances between local councils. One of the aspirations there is to have a weekly separate food waste collection. This is subject to consultation. How that consultation will take place and who we're not quite sure yet, but it's estimated that about 40% of the waste in your black bin or your grey bin, by weight, when we talk about volumes here, it's weight, about 40% of that is food. So there's a lot of food waste that goes into the black bin, and there's an aspiration there for each council to collect separate weekly food waste. That's a big implication for us, really.
So is that to go to anaerobic digesters?
It is, yes. Yeah. And I think one concern that we've got earlier on... Sorry, Chair, do you mind?
No.
one of the concerns that probably we might raise early on is that is there enough capacity in the anaerobic digestion market to take all of the food waste at the moment? And I would doubt that there is, so there'd be a need for some new processing facilities for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I should imagine someone's going to make some money out of setting up doing that.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
Another element that the strategy talks about is free garden waste collections for residents, and again this is subject to consultation. So that's an interesting dynamic. The strategy aims to improve urban recycling rates. So in many of the inner city areas, large cities, the recycling rates are quite poor, and they're looking to improve on that. And one particular issue was the review's looking to improve collection methods and promote recycling in houses of multiple occupation. So that's a key element of the strategy there.
Just to interject again, Chris.
Did you just say good luck with that?
We have a good recycling rate in Chalmers. So when it talks about improve urban recycling rates, that doesn't mean to say that's a universal issue. Mm. It just might be universally applied, and that's the issue for government. Whether they then go forward and try and apply that in selective areas, and when they say urban, I suspect they mean metropolitan London. Because the recycling rates are so low, but that may be something that we actually then feedback as part of the consultation, that we have a good recycling rate here.
Absolutely. I think just to add to the point that Chris has made, I think some of the inner city areas are getting less than 20% recycling when we're at sort of 46-47%, so they really have got a long way to go to catch up, really. But those areas are particularly challenging. So.
But that would be the style of the housing, isn't it? And the flats and...
Potentially, yes. Yeah. This chapter of the strategy talks about improved working arrangements between two-tier areas. So in Leicestershire, the Borough Council acts as the Waste Collection Authority. Leicestershire Council are the Waste Disposal Authority. So we collect the waste, they dispose of it. Very simplistic terms. There's something called recycling credits, where in some areas the county councils reimburse the districts through a mechanism to put robust recycling arrangements in place. They ended in Leicestershire a couple of years ago, last year for dry recycling, and a couple of years previous to that for garden. We get recycling credits at the moment. And the strategy is hinting quite strongly that it's looking to reintroduce those.
All right.
And the last point in this chapter is that there'll be a review of legislation that's looking to extend the use of the household waste and recycling centres, so the TIPS within there. So they're looking at charging regimes and increasing the materials that go in there available to residents. But that would mean the change in legislation.
Sorry, could you explain that to me? So I could take more things to the recycling centre,
yes.
You mean?
It isn't definite in the strategy. No. There's still quite a lot of detail to be worked through. These are quite open, but they're looking to extend the range of materials that you could take to the household waste and recycling centres and look at what should and shouldn't be charged for.
Right.
And maybe put some regulation around that isn't there at the moment.
Okay. And will they standardise that? I mean, I use the city dip because it's nearest for me. I can take paint there, whereas Charnwood I can't. So will that sort of...
I don't know if it'll be standardised. Standardised isn't a word that they use, but it's looking to extend the range.
Okay. And
whether extending the range means that all sites will take all materials, or whether there'll be a difference. So within the county, they have some specialist sites that take some things and not others, but somewhere else will take something
else.
Okay,
yeah. Thank you.
I'm not quite sure, but it isn't really that detailed on that point. So I thought this was quite interesting. We talked about separate food waste collections. And this is quite a helpful diagram, really, that just tells you how many tons of food waste go to waste. So there's 10.2 million tons. That's equivalent of 156 kilograms per person per year. 7 million from households, 1.8 from manufacturing, 1 from hospitality, 1 million that is, sorry, from hospitality and food, and 0.25 million tonnes from retail. And I thought that was quite surprising, actually, when I saw that. So the biggest factor in there is for food waste disposal is households.
You see, I think that I don't waste any food. I have a dog, but of course I have other stuff to put in bins then that come from that dog. So,
which will also compost, don't worry.
So another element of the strategy that's looking to be addressed is waste crime. The government recognises this is an issue and it's quite high on the agenda. So they're talking about better intelligence sharing between the Environment Agency, police and local authorities to tackle waste crime, or fly tipping as we know it. They're looking to establish some best practice guidelines and a toolkit for different partners to use. So we as a local authority are under an obligation to clear some fly tipping, but not all of it. Some of it falls to the Environment Agency. Unfortunately, some of it falls on private landowners as well, depending on where it is. So they're looking to introduce a joint, what they call a disruption team, based within the Environment Agency, with input from HMRC and police. And that's looking at organised crime. So these fly tipping gangs, industrial fly tipping gangs, it's quite a major concern, and it is sort of perpetrators are big organised crime gangs, and not just your sort of man with a van taking things. So this will tackle the high end offenders there perpetrating these crimes.
Just to add to Matt's point, evidentially, currently, Charnwood isn't victim of these kind of major fly tips. I would say it's West Midlands, Coventry, Birmingham kind of area, that corridor,
yeah.
And that's from that kind of gang behaviour. We do have fly tipping, but as hopefully you will all know as members, we are very, very stringent on it. Very. We will go after people. We will search out addresses if people are fly tipped, and we always prosecute, always, if we can find them. And I think that's a very good mechanism of joining between the teams. But also in terms of other issues of serious organised crime, sadly there are different issues for our own police in Leicestershire around organised crime, which we're working in partnership with, but it isn't about large fly tipping. So I wouldn't want you to go away this evening and thinking that is a label for Charnwood, because it's not.
I mean, Chris is right. We're not experienced this at the moment, but there are locations where over a weekend, a single weekend, you'll get thousands of tons tipped in a field. Thousands. And that is the high end grind that's looking to be tackled through this, really. So alongside that, there'll be increased powers to search premises and seize goods, and magistrates will be provided with better sentencing guidelines for the lower end offending behaviour. There'll be better sentencing guidance given to magistrates so that the sentences will be tougher and more in line with the crimes that have been committed there.
And obviously, it's not just the perpetrator, it's the business it comes from gets fined, don't they?
Absolutely.
Does that happen for domestic as well? You know, does the householder get fined?
Yes, the householder is under an obligation to make sure that anyone that takes their waste is a licensed waste carrier. And if their waste is found fly-tipped, then they are responsible, equally responsible, for that waste being there. And prosecutions and fixed penalty notices have been issued to householders whose waste has been fly-tipped, not by them, by a third party, but they are deemed to be responsible. some of those people that leave the things on the side of the road for the scrap man. If that waste ends up somewhere it shouldn't, then that householder is responsible.
On the back of that, I was just about to say, given the context of your previous item, just to assure you, probably over the previous decade, we have made sure we've had a consistent communications plan with our community. So do our communities know? Yes. Just in case they forget, do we tell them? Yes. Do we have a continuous communication plan? And we are there to help, we're not there to judge. But if people then actually put themselves in that situation, we try and make sure that we are as thorough as possible. Because after all, it's our beautiful borough, and we need to make sure that we protect and sustain that.
Richard?
Well, are we suspending our
because I keep chipping in, don't you?
I thought you were a doppel manager.
Your best shot.
The organised crime thing really struck me. I'm going to assume that the businesses who use these gangs do so knowingly. Is that a fair assumption, or am I lying when I say that? And what sort of businesses would, to see rather naively, sort of knowingly employ organised crime gangs to do that?
It's hard to comment, really, but each business is under an obligation to have what we call a duty of care notice that states how their waste is transferred and disposed of, and that's a legal document that they have to keep. And that shows that they're using a registered waste carrier.
Sure.
If they don't have that, they're breaking the law.
Yes.
But these rogue operators, if you like, won't have that documentation, and the business owner won't be provided with it. And I think that most reputable businesses would be well aware of that.
Yes.
So it is probably in full knowledge that waste is going to end up somewhere that it shouldn't end up.
The thousands of tons you referred to is
yes.
Implies either some very large businesses or lots and lots of small ones. I'm just.
I understand from West Midlands authorities that they're having a kind of overall operation around that, and I think that's where it's come from. It's West Midlands authorities and that corridor of transport, which makes it easy to try and tip elsewhere. That's the problem.
There's a chair. There's a very good thing on the Telegraph page here about it. It says dumped. Waste rose by 43% in a year to more than 14,000 tonnes. Mm. One farmer had 100 tonnes dumped on his field in the night.
Yeah, I've seen some media coverage about it. Thank you.
Just to be absolutely clear, we don't have that phenomenon here in Charnwood, and I think it's part of vigilance, but equally it's part we're not in a particular transport corridor. So we are vigilant, but equally we're not prey to that particular spate of crime.
Yeah. Councillor Brooks.
Thank you, Chair. At the moment we have, is it 5 large items per year that can be collected by Charnwood for free? Is there any scope to increase that so that the more the people in our community that can't necessarily afford to pay higher end for a licensed waste removal don't get stung or caught out?
So residents get three items
okay.
a year. So nine items in Charnwood. That is quite generous, and we think that that's suitable for most people's requirements. After that, there is a very nominal charge that 15, people are expected to pay, £15. Yeah. So, I don't think that that's a barrier for people to get rid of their goods. As well as doing that, there's the option, if they've got transport, to take it to the household waste and recycling centre for free as well for most waste types. So, people do have an outlet to do that. I think most of the fly tipping that we get doesn't come directly from residents. Yeah. It is from rogue contractors, really. Yeah. And the type of material that you can't take to the tip. So at the moment, we're getting quite a lot of waste from people that are harvesting cannabis in their own homes. And they get rid of the residual elements that are left after they've harvested.
I can't believe it. About a couple of months ago, I was in the middle of a field photographing all the evidence.
Same as.
Good.
Yeah.
The thing being on that, Councillor Paley, that is quite organised because it's actually coming in off the corridor of the A46, because all the banks, wherever the fly tips, are identical.
Really?
Yeah.
But these are quite small fly tips in comparison to what the previous item we talked about. And back to, we will always investigate. We will.
Is there a possibility of an income revenue for the council of disposing of people's waste? Because there's some waste that we don't collect free of charge. So, you've got the odd people that... Well, the fly tipping I went to yesterday was six doors that was fly tipped. And probably going to a man in a van would be quite expensive, and then they'd fly tip it probably somewhere. Well, probably that was a result of that. Could the council not do that and charge?
Theoretically, they could. I mean, we are generating income from people's waste through the garden waste service, and we've started a commercial waste collection as well from premises. And only recently, towards the end of last year, so we have started to do that. There are options to extend that, but there's a cost in, there's a setup cost to do those things, and there's the potential income, and there has to be a business case to do it. Effectively, for those type of items, construction waste, you're probably talking issuing people with skips, because that's construction waste, and a lot of construction waste ends up in skips, and we haven't got that infrastructure.
Talking about that, the odd people that have had refitted wardrobes, and they can't get rid of the wardrobe. I know you'll pick up if it's a whole wardrobe, but if it was a fitted wardrobe and it's just pieces of wood, so they probably haven't got very much. So to hire a whole man and a whole van would be quite costly.
If it's a wardrobe and it's been dismantled, it's still a wardrobe.
Yeah.
And they collect it.
Yeah. Okay.
Scheme works that well.
Is that? Yeah.
Just on that point, just for a second, those six doors, for example, though, say a joiner had done some six doors in a house and had six doors that he was going to fly tip otherwise for whatever reason, would it be £15 for the resident to collect six doors, to have six doors collected rather, or would it be six times £15?
Well, doors, from memory, doors don't appear on our collections list, we wouldn't collect those doors on our bulky waste collection.
And no, I mean on the commercial bit more that you talked about there.
So the commercial waste collections that we do are containerised weekly collections. So a larger, the big metal bins.
Yes, I do. I do now. You've said
they're, they're regular, frequent collections. We wouldn't do one-offs for businesses.
No,
it's just. Sorry, it's common, but it just sounds like if we're not getting the massive, thank you for that, we're not getting the massive fly tips that are going on, then the fly tips we are getting are perhaps six doors, or you quite often see a pile of what's clearly bathroom tiles, for example, by the side of the road. So that's commercial fly tip. If there was some way we could promote, okay, it's only going to cost you £25 or something for the council's come and take this away, leave it on your drive, we might stop those fly tips as well. Just an idea.
It's something to think about.
I think we can get cannier in our message.
You're right
with the it's more economic for you as businesses to not do this, and it's more economic for you as residents, and it's back to the communication that was saying earlier on about if you're in your head thinking, am I going to do that? And I actually think it's a new form of that antisocial behaviour. Think I'll just dump it. I mean, I would never do that. I just think it's bizarre.
Yeah.
But people do, because they think, oh, it's somebody else's responsibility. But if that message is, particularly through social media, about consequences,
yeah,
I think that's really helpful. But we just need to frame that and refresh the message. We just need to be relentless.
Right, I'll just let you get on now. Thank you.
You may not see this very well from there. I'm aware that you haven't got a copy of the presentation in front of you. You will get this with the minutes, so you can look at this, but this is a key milestone for the strategy. You'll see that it goes from present day all the way to 2050, so it's a long-term document, and some of the things that I thought would be useful to point out really is that we have an obligation to recycle recycled 50% of household waste by 2020 as a project. We're not currently achieving that at the moment, but that's there. The deposit return scheme for cans, bottles, that's put in 2023. For that, but you might see some pilot schemes coming in earlier than that, I would expect. And a key date, legislation for mandatory separate food waste collections, subject to consultation, we need to get that in. That's in 2023. Now, it does say legislation, so does that mean that that legislation's being passed in 2023, or that it comes into effect in 2023? We just don't know. Yeah, we just don't know it, and we're trying to find out.
You know, you mentioned pilot schemes. Yes. Is there a way that Charnwood can put themselves forward for a pilot scheme?
We would consider that,
yeah.
But there isn't a mechanism there at the moment, so that invite hasn't been extended to anybody to take part in a pilot scheme. We could put ourselves forward for that and express interest in doing something.
And I would suggest on the back of that, that it's, as long as it's cost effective for Charnwood and doesn't impact on customer satisfaction. So bear in mind our current waste collection has very, very high satisfaction levels. And I'm sure you could all think of an instance where something hasn't gone quite right, but bear in mind that overall it's about 90-something percent for our waste collection. So back to the customer is key, customer satisfaction and customer affordability. So that's why we're watching and waiting what government is saying about that.
Okay. So I thought I'd go into some elements in a slightly more detail and talk about specific direct implications for Charnwood Borough Council. So we've got a free garden waste collection service for residents, and what the strategy says is we will consult on the provision of free garden waste collections for households with gardens and seek views on the impacts and costs for local authorities. So the current income to the council from garden waste subscriptions is about 1.4 million a year, which is not an inconsiderable sum of money. If we were to do free garden waste collections, we would need to collect from every household, and we currently collect from just less than 50% at the moment, so we'd have increased operational costs to go on top of that, and we'd have to spend capital to buy about 30,000 new wheelie bins. So from that one element of the strategy, there could be some significant costs there.
Who are we going to consult with? The public?
The consultation is not for us to conduct. It's a consultation that the DEFRA say that they're going to carry out on free garden waste collection. So it won't be us consulting with the public in Charnwood. It'll be a national government consultation with local authorities and other interested parties.
So everyone's going to say yes, free garden waste?
I would imagine for a lot of local authorities, probably about half of local authorities charge for garden waste at the moment. Some don't collect it at all. So there is a substantial income impact for local authorities, and I think the government consultation, through the government consultation, the sort of collection authorities like ourselves will be a key consultee. And we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Obviously our budgets are tight already, and that's a big additional cost factor that could come.
Matt, can you remind me again, is garden waste included in the recycling percentage?
Yes.
It is, yeah. So if we had 30,000 more new wheelie bins out there, absolutely, the cost would be there.
Yeah.
But what would be the benefit of that additional weight?
Okay, so the top performers for the recycling rate are hitting between 60 and 65% recycling at the minute already. I think it's East Riding of Yorkshire's top of the pops. And they do free garden waste collections, and they also do food waste collections, which we'll talk about next. So the things that are being proposed in the strategy would increase our recycling rate. There's a question around affordability to me, and other impacts that we'll talk about in a minute that are important for members to realise going forward. And this is all subject to consultation as well. It's not definite, so don't walk out of here and tell your residents that we're definitely doing this next year, because there's still a long way to go.
Sorry, I'm just going to ask. So do we get anything by virtue of the fact that we're on 47% near enough?
Yes.
If we got to 50, do we just get a gold star?
There are EU-imposed fines for countries that don't meet the 50% recycling rate in 2020, which is just around the corner. How those fines are distributed, and who knows with the EU what's going on at the minute, we just don't know.
Right. So there's nothing for Charnwood Borough Council that says you hit 50, because I was trying to work out the balance, the opportunity cost of taking on another free 30,000 wheelie bins and free garden waste collection. The opportunity cost is actually nothing, because we don't get anything for increasing our percentage. Well,
this is where recycling credits came in.
Yeah.
Because to take waste to landfill, it costs £120 a tonne. And to compost waste through a garden bin or recycle, it's much less than that. It's garden waste is probably about £25 a tonne to process. Recycling, probably between £30 and £40 a tonne to process. And what recycling credits did, it rewarded the collection authorities for avoiding that extra cost of taking waste to landfill. So the County Council's saving money through us recycling and collecting recycling. And there was a mechanism in place for sharing the benefits there when we got the recycling credits.
Yeah.
There isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. So the more we recycle, there's no incentive financially for us to recycle more.
But you think it might change? Because you mentioned
it. Yeah. Think it could change.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we also need to keep an eye on the prize overall for the cost of the authorities, that we, like it or not, we make an income out of garden waste, because we charge for those people that actually take up a discretionary service. So if not everybody has a universal waste bin, an ordinary general waste bin, but not everybody has a garden waste bin, because not everybody has a garden, frankly. So they might not want to take up that offer. So we do make income out of garden waste currently, and if we go to free, then that is a loss of income to the authority.
Mm-hmm. And would we be compelled to offer a free garden waste collection, or could we just stop garden waste collection?
We don't know.
We don't know at the minute. My reading of the strategy, and this is my reading, is that we've been compelled to provide it.
So the councils that don't provide it will be compelled to. Yep. Okay, thank you.
Because it talks about taking garden waste out of the black bin, because when that goes to landfill, it causes greenhouse gases, basically, and that's the reasoning behind it.
And we're coming on to a bit later on about there is a suggestion from government that they will make available resources to compensate local authorities for that loss of income, but that isn't clear at this point.
Yeah.
So the second bit that's pertinent to us is separate weekly food waste collection. So these proposals, again, I'm going to repeat this so we all understand, it's subject to consultation. The timeline says we'll get new legislation in 2023. Now, is that when the legislation is passed or when it comes into force? We don't know. Most authorities that collect food waste, they all collect it weekly, but what they do is they extend the frequency of the black bin and the recycling to compensate, and that forces residents to change their behaviour and use their food waste caddy. It restricts their capacity in those other areas, so it forces the behaviour change into the food. So the vast majority of authorities that collect food waste on a weekly basis collect their black bin waste and their recycling every 3 weeks and not every two. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as it said there, it could result in three weekly collections. We get high satisfaction rates for our service at the moment. That could be a risk if we took that particular approach.
It would.
The council, along with all the other councils in Leicestershire, some time ago, for 2015, we did an exercise around food waste and what it would cost to implement across the county. Each local authority, each borough within the county had their own report, and with the council, with Charlton Borough Council going to 3 weekly for its black bin waste, 3 weekly for its recycling, and having a separate food waste collection, the additional costs were £700,000 a year in 2015. So again, it's a big bill for that really. And in addition, we'd have the capital cost, the capital outlay of providing every householder with an inside kitchen caddy and an outside caddy. You get two caddies on this system. So again, large numbers, it's a worthwhile thing to do, but it comes at a big price. So resources, and this is a direct quote, because this is my big concern. If this all happens, how are we going to pay for it? And we're not clear on that. There are a number of statements, if you like, within the strategy, but nothing to underwrite the costs, if you like. So the resources, the government recognises the financial pressure on local authorities. They will therefore receive additional resource to meet new costs arising from policies set out in the strategy once implemented. This includes both set up front transitional costs and net ongoing operational costs. So that's what the strategy says. And I think what they're saying here is, remember right at the start we said extended producer responsibility. The people that produce the waste at the start, they're going to pay into a pot, they're going to have to meet the cost. So will there be, this is a question and not an answer, will there be a mechanism for that money being shared with local authorities to collect and treat that waste? So the manufacturer pays, if you like. Don't know, but that's exactly what it says. And the other issue we talked about recycling credits a little bit, is that the current system no longer provides sufficient incentive for many waste collection authorities to put in place services to collect materials such as food waste, and the payments are too low to support these services. Payments too low, we don't get any so at all, so that is too low for us to implement these services. There's a big hint there that recycling credits will become mandated at some point in time, and we'll get those payments back.
Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you. I mean, you mentioned your uncertainty about the costs. The statement is there. Is there something tucked away in the use of that word net? I'm just trying to think that one through. Is there an implication there that the government believes there'll be some offsetting saving? Am I misunderstanding something?
I think when it talks about net cost, it means that some councils get an income from recycling.
Yes.
And there's the cost of collection, the income from recycling, they get offset, and you're left with the net cost. So yeah. I think it's the cost of collection minus the income from any materials that you collect.
Right.
And the net cost is the residual amount.
Yeah.
That is my interpretation. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
The problem is, I think it's been an ever fluctuating market, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think over a period of time, recycling credits and income from recycling has become increasingly variable, and that's just, it's not just because of Europe, it's worldwide. The resale value from that and the income from that fluctuates on a daily basis rather than necessarily on a monthly or yearly basis.
So the resource of the councils could be varying, couldn't it? Sort of year by year or even month by month, making it quite hard to plan. Yeah,
spot on.
Thank you.
Talk about recycling credits. The next steps, you may have gathered from the presentation that the strategy really asks more questions than it answers at this stage. And I think Chris and I will be attending a few meetings and conferences to get the detail really over the next few months and try and work that through, and how quick that will come through. We're not sure at the moment. So we're in discussion with our colleagues and information sharing with other officers throughout the county to share knowledge on that. Once the details are a little clearer, we'll look to start reviewing our zero waste strategy to make sure that whatever we do, it's in line with what eventually comes out of the strategy.
I think just one last thing to add on the back of that is Matt's absolutely right about the consultation responses, and we've given you this early sight of it because it's out for consultation right now, and it's important that you as members, particularly as scrutiny, have the best advice or information that we can offer, knowing what they're proposing. But I think it's also helpful to know that because we are a waste collection authority and counties are a waste disposal authority, and a number of you are members that wear two hats, that there will be very different advice depending, quite frankly, your point on who benefits.
Yes. Mm. Do we
so
need
there'll be different budget implications.
I wonder whether some of us need to declare interest at this point, looking at Karen and Michael for advice, because three of us here are on
the council,
aren't we?
So Karen Widdowson, this is a briefing, and
okay.
There's no decision making. So it's
thank you.
Councillor Hunt.
I think one of the things they've perhaps missed out of this strategy consultation is the black bin waste, because I was thinking about it when you were talking about, oh, you know, the bin might not be picked up for 3 weeks and all that kind of thing. And I was thinking about my bin, and to be honest with you, if you collected food waste separately, that would not be a problem for me at all. In fact, I'm not quite sure I'd need a black bin. However, I'm not a person now who has children who are in nappies, or perhaps people with incontinence pads and that kind of thing, and maybe they ought to think, rather than talking about just about recycling, about picking off some of the things that are to do with black bin waste that are very, very specific, and you wouldn't want those round perhaps for a month, say. And then that way, then, the opportunity cost would be, well, don't pick up a black bin only once a month, because it's got nothing in it that's going to be offensive to people, if you see what I mean. It's just waste you can't put anywhere else. If they were able to do something, say, with nappies.
Matt Bradford.
Some councils do provide an on-demand collection of nappies and absorbent products. Right. So if they do have a three-weekly back bin collection, those households that need a nappy collection can ring up. And that service is provided, so they're taken away on a higher frequency.
Right, okay, thank you.
With the black bin waste, what the strategy looks to do is, I mentioned earlier that some garden waste finds its way into the black bin, and by providing a free garden waste service for everybody, it looks to take that out, that element out, because it causes harmful gases, and the food waste as well, 40%, it's quite a large, it's the largest proportion, it's in the black bin, you take that out as well. And what's left will go for probably landfill or incineration. It's really looking to minimise that right down and provide a different loop for all the other materials.
I think the only thing I was going to add on that, which is entirely appropriate, hopefully one of the things that we do well at Charnwood is a whole waste strategy, and the communication about the different receptacles up until this point has been clear. And you might see some of the national debate and concern has been, which bin is it this week? What colour is it? Oh, it's confusing, and too much street clutter, you know, too much public realm clutter, and the colouring of that. And I think what we have an optimum concern is to keep that fabric of society clear, the communications clear, and the ability for the community to have that. Oh, it makes sense, you know, that communication. So I think we have that eye on that prize, as well as making sure we bring back the most current information. So Matt's quite right, as the last bit here, is once we get clear in terms of the review, we'll be back with your invitation, so that you have that ongoing message and understanding, and certainly we can get some messages from yourselves as well.
Okay. Thank you. Just a very quick question. I can remember in MRG, years ago, getting quite excited that the recycling, the sweepings from curbsides could be used as recycling. And then it was removed.
That
we couldn't use that anymore.
I
could never understand why.
It is recycled.
Oh, it is it?
But there is further treatment that you have to use. Well, street sweepings used to be recycled as garden waste.
Yeah.
So it used to be composted, because a lot of it was organic material. But then there were a lot of metals and fuels and contaminants in those street sweepings, so they have to go and be processed now. Yeah. They are still recycled and elements are reused, but it is a little bit more complicated.
Okay, thank you. That's second that one. Thank you very much for that presentation. Yes. Actually, you gave us more information than was at the training, I think. Yeah. Well, whether it's because we had more probing questions, I don't know.
The training was on our current collection system and advice to members on what we do, how we do it, what to do if something goes wrong. This is more looking into the future. We did touch on a little bit of this, but this was more about the future strategy going forward. And I've been asked to repeat that training after elections as well, so we'll be looking to timetable that in.
No, that's lovely. And
lastly, I'm really sorry that I overran. I did say 20 minutes, so I've been considerably longer than that. So.
Well, I've got a feeling that I might have helped. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
You did ask one question at the end, though. You did say one.
Yeah. right, the next one, we're all right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does work.
No, I do as well.
Right, thank you very much. We'll go on to progress with a panel work.
So,
thank you.
So, Karen Widdowson speaking. So, progress with panel work. There are no scrutiny panels at the current time, so there's no progress to report in. Thank you.
Oh, there you go. No progress. No panels. And work programme.
So, moving on to item 11, the work programme. So, members will have read this report. So, there's four actions here. The first one is to note the Cabinet's response of the 15th of November to the recommendations initially made by this group back in September 2018 regarding the management and adoption of open space and the observations subsequently made by the Scrutiny Management Board on the 23rd of January. So the minutes from the Cabinet meeting are set out in the report, and I hopefully you will have all read those. The other action is to note the actions that have been taken regarding privacy for customers in the Council's main reception area. There is actually an update on that, so I don't know if the Chairman, do you want to...
No, you carry on.
So earlier today I spoke to Carey Barnshaw, Customer Services Manager, I think that's the title, for an update. So you remember... we had an item at the last meeting about the tenancy support and the fact the screens out in the reception here not very private, they're just right by the door, there's panels, and when you stand out here again people could be overlooking. So you'd be pleased to hear that it has been looked at, and the computer screens that are very much near the door in reception are going to be moved to the area out here where the standard ones are, and there'll be actual screens between the desks, so there will be no viewing of that information. The standard ones here will be removed as part of that reconfiguration, but in the meantime there has been privacy screens placed onto those terminals, so that's positive.
Very good.
And as to the privacy screens for the members, it's
So with the privacy screens, so there was a suggestion that on the devices that you can place a privacy screen. We did trial with IT a couple of these screens. Unfortunately, I have to say that they didn't work very well. You could still see documents and things like that. So the view was taken that actually, as members, if you can be careful when you're out and about, when you're viewing documents, or not that there's many exempt items anyway, but particularly it was more the concerns around emails. So you just be aware when you're out and about, really. But we did try the privacy screens, but they weren't very suitable, so we've not gone further with that. Thank you. Okay. So that was the second action. The third action is to note the changes made by the chair and vice chair of the group to the group's work programme. So that's listed above. So the work programme, so the zero waste strategy is obviously come onto the agenda tonight. The customer services strategy is going to the 9th of April meeting. Housing acquisition policy to the 9th of April meeting. And then the local plan is that's moved the, well, that was originally going to be the 5th of February, and that's actually to be scheduled when we've got some further information, which then brings me on to the work programme item. So the next meeting's on the 9th of April, and we've got the three items there. So we've got the ICS strategy, customer service strategy, and housing acquisition policy as well. So we've got three items for the next meeting. And then the forward plan document, listing the key and non-key decisions. I've looked through that, as the chair and vice chair have as well, and there's no items that have been identified unless members have any suggestions. And that's all from me. Thank you.
Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you. Can I just ask about the open space strategy item? And my apologies if I've missed some more recent information. I can see what's on the documents here. Do we know whether there's been any outcome or reporting back yet from this meeting between the leader, chief exec, and the local MPs?
I'm not aware of the date of that meeting, if it's happened even, so I can check when that meeting might be and when it will be raised with the local.
Thank you. It's been a matter of certainly raised with me, and I know with other colleagues in the past. I'd like to know what's happening about it.
Mm. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I close the meeting, and the next meeting will be in April. It will be my last meeting. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
And hopefully not my last meeting as a councillor.
No.
There you go. None of us know. No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you.